Right, 19 and a half right now. So he do got more than Nick Bosa right now.
Yeah, 17. I thought Nick Bosa had 18.
He right now signed right with the two playoff games, got 19 and a half sacks going into the Super Bowl tomorrow.
Going into the Super Bowl, even more on my point.
Yeah, I mean, he was very deserving. Like I said, he was very deserving to be in that conversation. And I see what you're saying. Like, in years, as we've seen in most years, the winning the team that had the best season, most of their players get the recognition in most of these categories. I don't know why he was bad against the Eagles this year.
Yeah, because you can think on the also defensive rookie, offensive assistant coach of the year, Shane Steichen was nominated for that. But I got to give it to D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans, what he did with that defense in San Francisco. And he was rewarded with a head coaching gig in Houston. You think that'd be a good that was a good consolation prize?
Yeah. Get different types of paycheck.
So, is it one piece of mind that my Philadelphia Eagles are going to this game pretty ticked off, don't you think?
They have reason to be.
Yeah. I mean, you've been saying that in the last several weeks.
So, so we're going to get into the Super Bowl conversation right now. It's 10:14. It is the Studio W Sports page brought to you by J&J. Get you all your sports, get you all your sports apparel. 2302 Williamsburg Road, Supreme Flea Market. Tell Naeem Jamil, Studio W Essential, J&J. Those are guys right there. Super Bowl is upon us, guys. It's the Kansas City Chiefs facing off against my Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know how this is going to play out, ladies and gentlemen, but please, before I go in, anybody got anything to say?
I just feel like if you see, like I said earlier, when we were talking off camera, I feel like Kansas City defense plays like it's been playing this postseason. It could be a very different game than what people think. Because, you know, their defense during the regular season was terrible. Their offense won most of those games. But you see in these playoffs, their defense have really contributed to a lot of those victories that they didn't got in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, like I said, man, with everything is in there, like I said, we just hope that it's going to be a good game and the halftime show should be interesting to see. We just like to see what kind of catalog. Yeah, we want to see what the catalog what she's going to pull out tomorrow.
You know, I can't wait. My girl, three reasons to have that show. But we have our own little halftime show, so I might have to miss that joint. I might be on the ones and twos during the halftime. Yeah. Turn it off.
Well, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting game. It's Philly's for the taking, in my opinion. But the only thing that concerns me is the NFC Championship game. I don't think Jalen Hurts had a great game at all. I hope that was just a little rust. And that defense has got to be on point, because if they give Patrick Mahomes times, if they give him any time, Mill, you can be one of his receivers. He's getting the ball up out of there. And to me, and there's a wild card that I think they're going to come with. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is ready to play. I ain't crazy about him. But outside of Pacheco, I'm looking at Ronald Jones. I know it sounds crazy, but I remember he came up big in the Tampa Bay Super Bowl. He's a big back. I got a feeling in order to even hang with Philly a little bit, they're going to have to utilize that dude. I just hope that they're prepared. Again, I feel like it's Philly's game for the taking. But we got, you know, I think it also comes down to who's going to out-coach you, and that's what I'm waiting to see.
Yeah, you got Dan, you got Doug Peter. I keep saying Doug Peter. Nick Sirianni, who was begot by Frank Wright, you know, and two different contrasting styles of offense, but they're kind of similar in a way. Both of these teams scored the same amount of points, same record, all up until this point. And to me, and on paper, sometimes they could be so evenly matched. But when you look at the 53, I'm looking at the entire 53 from the Kansas City Chiefs against the entire 53 from my Philadelphia Eagles. Let's look at this. All right, you got Jalen Hurts. I mean, you got Pat Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, 1 and 2. And I'm talking about as voted as all pro. Pat Mahomes first team, Jalen Hurts second team. Pretty, you know, as far as accolades go from that standpoint, right there. Both of them was 1 and 2 in the MVP conversation. So you expect good play out of both of these quarterbacks. No matter both of them got a nagging injury. Pat Mahomes with that high ankle sprain, Jalen Hurts with that shoulder. Pat Mahomes has proven that he can win football games with that high ankle sprain. Jalen Hurts has proven that he can win football games with that bum shoulder. Okay. Now look at the running backs. You got Isaiah Pacheco, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Ronald Jones, Kansas City. You have Kenneth Gainwell, Boston Scott, and Miles Sanders. Now this is where I give the edge to the Eagles, because you also now got to throw in Jalen Hurts, but you got to think, Kenneth Gainwell has been balling lately. And Miles Sanders is a 1,000-yard rusher. Can we say that about Kansas City? Give props to Kansas City for their running game?
One of the mistakes I think they made early on was that they didn't get Pacheco into the mix until about, what, week 8, 9? So, and I mean, because Clyde Edwards-Helaire, for all the pub that he got coming out of the LSU, I don't think he's really produced.
Right. We don't really talk about Kansas City's running game.
I think Pacheco is nice. The thing that's weird, you know, for me, and this is just me, and losing Tyreek Hill, you know, my thought was, okay, dang, they didn't lost that energizer that can turn the game around, boom, a second. But they filled in like in the AFC championship game. This dude, Valdez-Scantling, comes out of nowhere. I mean, right. Yeah, he was in Green Bay, but you got to remember, to me, he ain't do much in Green Bay. He was just a receiver that
– He was, know, a burner. MVS, for what he is, he's a burner.
Yeah, he's a blur. So, I mean – Juju came up pretty good for them this year. I don't think the pressure was the same on him in Kansas City, like Pittsburgh and so on.
Yeah, but what MVS does, he takes the pressure off of Juju, because Juju is like their middle range guy. MVS is their deep threat. And depending on how the offense goes, you know, MVS really does now only probably might get like 2 or 3 balls thrown to him a game anyway.
Well, you know, the thing that I didn't realize until I saw that AFC championship game, he's a tall dude. I didn't realize
he was
tall.
Yeah, he's like 6'5".
Then you're looking at that. Of course, you're going to have Travis Kelce. You know, somebody better be on their job with him, whoever the linebacker is.
I don't want to jump the gun just yet, Mark. We're going to get that. Let's talk about these receivers.
Well, we're
going to break this down position by position.
Yeah. Well, you're saying, you know, like I said, we say Marcus Valdez-Scantling, you know, so we got him. Then, you know, you look at it, like I said, you got Juju. Tony is starting to play. Kadarius Tony is starting to get into the mix a little bit. He's being utilized away for whatever reason. The Giants didn't utilize him. I don't know if McCole Hartman's playing. I mean, I knew he was hurt. I don't know if they got him active.
No, he's out.
But
he goes out.
Oh, but they even got a backup tight end in the AFC Championship game that Mahomes was using. I think with Patrick Mahomes, whoever he spots is open is getting the ball. So it's kind of hard to prepare for that, man, because you don't know who's getting it. I mean, I will say this. Their offensive line better be ready because, man, it's coming.
Absolutely.
They coming. I mean, this dude gonna probably – I mean, he might set a record like he did the other time for yards running backwards because they are coming.
Okay, so that's a look at the Kansas City. That's a look at the Chiefs wide receivers. Now, are any of them have any of them called for 1,000 yards this season?
No.
I don't think so.
Because, see, the Eagles have 2,000 yard receivers in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And we also, you know, they have MVS, that's their burner. Our burner is Quez Watkins.
Well, he better hold on to the ball because that dude.
See, the bad thing is they haven't utilized Quez as much. Like
they have been dropping. He's the deep threat.
But he drops a lot of passes. That's what I'm saying. He better hold on to the ball because
he's going to hold on to the ball. They really haven't been using him, but he has been holding on to the ball. He has been, you know, doing his job lately. I will give him that. They don't utilize him that much because these past couple of games, they've just been utilizing the run game. And Jalen Hurts has not been throwing a lot, but he has been throwing enough. So that might get, depending on his on Jalen Hurts' volume of throws, Quez is only going to get like one out of every five balls.
Well, you got to remember the key to them is going to be on that passing. I'm trying to figure out how are they, man, they, I don't know how they're going to control A.J. Brown. I mean, this dude is, people don't give him don't give the credit to it.
They got 2,000 yard receivers and they're going up against, you know, some inexperienced corners, but I don't want to get to the cornerbacks yet. But give me as far as running the running backs and the wide receivers, give me my Eagles.
Well, like I said, A.J. Brown's a specimen, man. He's
going to eat. Smith is going to eat. And you also got to think about this. You know, these guys, A.J. and Smith came from Alabama. They won national championships. They know how to play on big stage. They know how to play in big moments.
Well, no, A.J.
has history, but they have championship history right along with Jalen Hurts. So I don't think the Super Bowl jitters are going to affect them as much as they would someone else.
Well, you know what, AJ, you know, he went to Ole Miss. He played with, and see, that's a whole different story, but it makes me question the coaches down there because how you can have him, DK Metcalf, Laquan Treadwell, have all these dudes on offense and win five games. I don't know how that happens, but anyway, just my opinion with AJ Brown, you know, they talk a lot about DK Metcalf. Hey man, to me, that's the most physical, gifted receiver in the league. When he's on, when he ain't hurt, that's the only thing that with him, at least in Tennessee, he seemed like he missed a lot of games. But when this dude is on, you can't cover that dude. You got to play off of him because he's going to throw you as soon as you go to try to get your little five yard touch and you're going to be on the ground. That dude's strong.
So you got to think about this. You got Smitty, you have AJ, you have Quez, I'm gonna get to the tight ends next, but Dallas Goedert and Zach Pascal. That's five receivers. Four out of those five, Jalen Hurts trusts throwing a 50-50 ball to.
Well, who's the one they don't? Who don't he trust? Pascal?
For a 50-50 ball? Yeah. I'm talking about a jump ball, 50-50 ball. No, I don't think he trusts Zach Pascal that much. Zach Pascal doesn't catch deep balls. He's more of the short, very short slant intermediate routes.
Yeah. I agree with you on that.
He catches screens. He doesn't really go downfield, you know, like the other four. Now, the thing with the tight ends, yes, Travis Kelce, best tight end in the league. But Dallas Goedert ain't too far behind. Now, whose interior secondary do you trust the most when it comes to these two? Do you trust Kansas City's interior secondary, or do you trust Philadelphia's interior secondary? Because that's who's going to be guarding them. Now, Avante Maddox is going to be back. He's going to have a say in that. C.J. Gardner-Johnson is going to be back. He's going to have something to say. Marcus Epps is going to have something to say about that. and
Bradbury.
I don't see Bradbury on Kelce, but
no, maybe not. But I mean,
Kazeel White, I do have a problem with because he has been getting burnt in coverage. He has been exposed a little bit, so we're gonna have his hands full. Now we do have a counterpunch. Now we're gonna talk about that when we get onto the defensive side of the ball. So I give the edge to Pat Mahomes and I give the edge to Travis Kelce as far as the skill positions on the offensive side of the ball. Now when you want to talk about the offensive line, give me my Eagles all day.
Well, yeah, there ain't much to discuss there.
Get much respect to Joe Tooney. He's a great guard, but we got three Pro Bowlers and a couple of alternates on our squad.
There's nothing even discussed with that one. Only thing I'm worried about when it comes to that line is Lane Johnson and that injury that he's had.
Because he's going to go up against Clark most of the day.
Yeah,
that's his hands full. But you see the job he did against Joey Bosa.
He manhandled him. I think.
So you got to think about that. And on the other side, now it could be easier because you got IHOP on the other side.
Yeah. Well, you know, the biggest concern, like I said, outside of Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce going to have his hands full.
Yeah. Sunday. Yes, he will. I mean, the best center in the league against arguably the best nose tackle in the league.
Yeah, he's going to have his hands full. And I mean, he from my neighborhood, believe it or not. He would have his hands full, but I think he'll be up to it.
Yeah, so we'll see about it. That's going to be interesting. But the rest of the guys on Joe Milan, Landon Dickerson, Isaac Simalu is playing for he's in a contract. Yeah, I think after the season's over with, we're going to try to resign him, but we're going to be outbid by somebody because the dude's a beast. And he's a major key in that running game. But doing a lot of Landon Dickerson, we're going to rely on them a lot because those third and shorts that we're going to run it's not even a quarterback sneak no more. It's a quarterback run. The QB runs to the side on third and short and fourth and short. They're going to be running to the left side because we're going to try to spell Lane Johnson as much as we can. It's going to get run to the left side. So those guys are going to have a hefty dose of the run game. They're going to be key. Now we're going to the defensive side of the ball. Like I still give me the edge to the Eagles because, like you said, you got Frank Clark and what's his name is slipping out. You just said him too.
Who, Chris Jones?
Yeah, Chris Jones. Jones or Clark. Who else they got?
You know what?
Let's just be honest. Chris Jones, he's a lead leader in sacks, and Frank Clark, he's an all-time playoff leader in sacks. But the rest of the guys, they don't have a lot of sacks. Well, now, the Eagles on their front four, you know, we are historically great at this moment. We have the most sacks leading up into the Super Bowl, beating out the 85 Bears.
Well, see, that's why. I hated to see it happen because I ain't gonna lie, I was on the edge going for them. That's why if Cincinnati would have made it to this game, they were gonna be in trouble. Because that defensive line that Philly had, I mean, Joe Burrow, they might want to have an ambulance waiting for him because I'm telling you, they was bringing it, bro. And I don't know how he would have held up in that. I don't know how he would have held up. So maybe it was best that they didn't play in this game. Because Patrick Mahomes, they saying his ankle looks great. Unless they give him some kind of implant, it better be real good because he's going to be running backwards a lot.
Yeah, let's see how the pain tolerance holds up when he has to move because he's going to be constantly pressing. I think this is where the difference in the game is because Hassan Reddick is going to have to come off the edge. And on the other side, Josh Sweat is going to eat. Brandon Graham is going to eat. Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave, arguably the best defensive player on our squad that's still not getting enough recognition. Knows that he got like 14 sacks and he's coming up the middle.
See, that's the problem right there. See, when you get the name of these dudes, when people talk about the matchup's gonna be great, Mahomes and whatever. When you start mentioning all these dudes for Philly, the other side of me is like, damn, I hope this ain't no blowout.
Oh, I already got it as a blowout.
Because
already got is a blow. I'm calling it right. I called it last week. We wasn't on air, but I told them when we won the NFC Championship game, I don't care who we playing against, we blowing them out because the San Francisco 49ers were the most physical team left in this game. In the playoffs, and we get by them, and we match our physicality against against Kansas City or Cincinnati. They'll have a spark, but they're not gonna be able to hold up over four quarters.
But see, also think about it this too, because remember I also told you, West Coast teams usually don't do well against going over to the East Coast. Also,
but you know something, the time difference here is only an hour. It won't be that big of a deal
And they already been there for 2 weeks.
Because you got to remember, Arizona is on that mountain time zone. Right. So for Kansas City, it'd just be an hour. It'd be more effective against Philly than it would actually be against Kansas City because there's a two-hour difference in time. But once you get there and you've been there a week, you ought to be good.
Well, yeah, with time difference, definitely, you're right, Mark. Time difference definitely would not play a factor in this game. But like I said, there were a couple of times you were actually right on early in the season when, I forgot, what was it, Seattle and somebody?
Oh, teams like that. Yeah, when they got it, man, it is a factor. The flight, when Seattle played on the East Coast, I mean, the flight is 5.5 hours.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was the Dolphins.
Yeah, I knew that was over. You going from the tip of the country up in the northwest down to the southeast as far as you can go southeast in this country. And you ain't going to be worth nothing by the time that game comes because it's going to take you almost a week just to recover.
Right.
Yeah. But I think in this one here, they've been out there. If anything, and people don't believe it, I think if anything that wears those players out this week is going to be media week. Where they got to be out there answering all these radio interviews. Well, this and that.
Yeah, they got that. Now they're doing their walkthroughs. Right now I believe, in their final walkthroughs, and they're just with their team. I think yesterday was last day they spent with the families and everything. So now everybody is locked in.
Well, I hope that curse of somebody going out tonight and getting in trouble don't come into play.
I don't see that. I don't see that coming into play. These are two strongly led football teams right there.
And it is funny you said that, Mark, because that's the one fear I have every single year. Somebody's name is going to get brought up somewhere in the foolishness every year.
Yes, and this is where Jalen Hurts surpasses Donovan McNabb, because I fully believe Jalen Hurts is not going out drinking tonight.
So you saying Mill that night? You saying Donovan McNabb got drunk the night before the game, huh?
Yeah, that's why he threw up in the game. That's what really divided the wedge, because T.O. was livid.
Oh well, he would have been MVP that game if they win. I mean,
T.O. was livid before the game.
Well, the very first
McNabb came there still with a hangover, crap face. I was about to say another word, but he was crap face.
I still blame. I'm still mad at him on that first touchdown drive. The Patriots got Lito Shepherd left that dude wide open over there in the right side. I'm like, where's this dude at? I mean, I heard the stories of Donovan McNabb. Damn, I guess it was true.
We're gonna have that out, Jalen Hurts. Now the linebacking core. Let's get back real because we got 10:36. Yeah, we got a couple more minutes on the linebacking core. Now I love how the Eagles linebackers and stuff. Now Hassan Reck is part of that linebacking core. He's on the edge, but we got him as a linebacker. T.J. Edwards has been awesome. So awesome that we kept our third round draft pick, Nakobe Dean, as coming off the bench, and he's in the second unit. Kazeer White has been balling out. Kazeer White's also playing for a contract. I don't think he's going to be back next season. I think he's going to get more money elsewhere. But like I said, Kazeer White lately has been getting exploited in coverage by tight ends, so I'm a little nervous about that. I'm not too keen on Kansas City's linebackers, but I don't think they play better than the Eagles linebacking core. Because even though with all our deficiencies, we still know, keep teams in the low scoring.
Well, you know, Frank Clark could lead up the linebacker core, but again, you got two guys, Frank Clark, Chris Jones. Outside of that, I mean, Philly, again, there ain't too many defenses I've seen in my lifetime that is going to match up with this defense Philly got.
Yeah.
Yeah, defensive line, you're looking at these linebackers. Like I said, I mean, they're going to have to be on their game, though, because, you know, I mean, who, like, again, Travis Kelce's going to become that other backup tight end. He, for whatever reason, he's been getting in the mix. You're kind of dealing with a wizard when it comes to Mahomes. The key factor for Philly, in my opinion, is because they do have a huge defensive line. And then Ndamukong Suh is in there, who I think can be the X factor on that line because he's bringing it. And trust me, if he get a shot at Patrick Mahomes, he's laying him out.
He's laying Sue and Joseph and Jordan Davis. And this the rotation on our defensive line is so phenomenal.
So
all these guys are hungry and they're ticked off because why? We got snubbed.
I'm so glad all season long. Man, I'm so glad you said that because the main key for as far as your defensive line goes. If they get, all you have to do is make Mahomes uncomfortable. And then if you make him start running for his life, and you know, at some point, somebody from the Eagles is going to either pick him off or it's going to be a lot of drop balls somewhere, or it could be it could be a pick six or it could be an interception somewhere.
All right, this is where the game's going to get difficult. I get what you're saying, Kev.
I want to see the first big hit on the receiver.
Now this is where it's going to get difficult. Mm-hmm. Now see, the Eagles going to have to run the ball. We get the running game going. We start chewing up the clock.
Yep.
Greatest RPO game of all time. Yep. I explain that later for anybody wants to debate that. Greatest RPO game of all time. Now you go to the other side. Mm-hmm. This pass rush, greatest pass rush of all time. Now if this pass rush gets to Pat Mahomes, tight ends going to have to stay in and block, which means that's less routes on. Travis Kelce is going to have to run because you're going to have to protect the court. You're going to have to protect Pat Mahomes. I'm sorry, with a high ankle sprain, I don't see Pat Mahomes scrambling like the Pat Mahomes of old. I don't see that escapability out of Pat Mahomes with a high ankle sprain. I see all the other intangibles, but I think that's where he's going to be hobbled. So you're going to have to bring on Travis Kelce back in. You're going to have to keep those tight ends to chip. Now, when he gets to the secondary, Pat Mahomes ain't faced a secondary like this before. Darius Slay on one side, James Bradbury on the other side, C.J. Gardner-Johnson in the back, Avante Maddox in the slot, Marcus Epps, or Reed Blankenship as man in that strong safety spot. It's going to be up to them to stick to the script. Don't get caught looking in the backfield. Don't try to make a play. Just stick to the script. When the ball comes to you, that's when you make the play. Darius Slay might have a pick six.
Well, here's the thing.
Bradbury might have a pick six.
But here's the key, and I think it gets overlooked. That's why I say it depends on what Andy Reid does. And to me, here's the key to that. Philly got a big defensive line. Them brothers is huge.
Mm-hmm.
If Kansas City goes to a game plan where they keep them on the field for a bit and get to wearing them down some, that's where it can become interesting. Do I think there's a chance that can happen? Realistically, no. But Andy Reid is a genius. See, if he comes up with a plan, say, you know what, we're going to have to start keeping them on the field and making them work. So by the fourth quarter, these dudes is gasping for air.
Now, what defense does Kansas City mostly run as far as the secondary goes?
You know what? They play off. And see, that can be the problem because they damn near play a prevent because they don't trust the dudes they got back there.
They're going to have to put the safety over them rookie corner.
Yeah.
I'll tell you like this. If they go single high safety, they're in trouble.
Well, they're going to get burnt. Somebody getting ready to get destroyed. They better not do that because that'll happen on the first play of the game. I mean, they got to come with something better.
They're going to have safety. Somebody, we going over top. They in trouble.
But you know, it's funny how almost every time
And it's funny how you notice whenever Mark throws something out of the air, it happens almost every time. The time of possession is another thing. I wasn't looking at that part. But again, another angle where it says, okay, because the longer they stay on the field, somebody's going to get gassed at the end.
Right.
And it never fails. But again, another key X factor, Mark just pointed out, that could play a part in it too.
Yeah, no, yeah. I guess. This is the greatest RPO game of all time.
Because you know something? Again, like you know, when it comes to that time, now you got Ronald Jones. I ain't saying he'll be a factor, but now you can kind of utilize him. I hope Clyde Edwards-Helaire shows up, because this dude, to me, stinks. You're going to have to check.
I don't see the running game being a factor, because, you know, we already know that Philly's going to run the football.
But you know, but Mill, here's the opposite.
Really chew up the clock, or they're not going to. The more Kansas City's not going to run it.
Yeah, but you know what? But you said something here. You know, Philly's going to run the ball, but see, they ain't expecting Kansas City to really run it.
Exactly.
And so when you look at that, and you see, okay, dang, now when does Ronald Jones dude start getting the ball? When is this happening? And if they get any measure of success with it. Now you got to start keying on that run a little bit, and that's when little passing slots pop open, because you start overcompensating and say, okay, we got to stop this run. That's when that other tight end or somebody gets another pass. What I'm saying is, if they can keep these drives,
it opens it up
there. Yeah, if they can keep these drives going, and I'm telling you, where they start keeping these dudes on the field for a minute, that can become because at that point, if your running game is on. And hey, he's my groove brother. I think you know, they keep talking about Micah Parsons. I think this brother's just as good, if not better. But then you don't get to really utilize Hassan Reddick the way you normally could. Because see, like you said, he's used to being on the edge blitzing. He's not really a big factor when it comes to the running game aspect of it. If they can somehow, I mean, if Andy Reid can pull this off, it's going to be a problem. Because you know, as much as I will applaud that defense, and man, all them dudes on that defensive line is 300-something pounds plus. And at some point, they're gonna get tired. I mean, if they start sustaining these drives, 10 minutes here, 8 minutes drive there, it's gonna catch up. I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but Andy Reid's got to come up with something. And in my opinion, that's what I think he's going to do. Everybody's expecting. Mahomes would put on this passing show. The dude, hey, he's limited. So you gotta somehow come in and how can I say, assist him what he cannot do. And I honestly think if they take away the blitzing from Philly, it makes the game interesting, because like you say, you got Darius Slay, you got Bradbury, them quarterman, both bad dudes.
But see, think about this, Mark. 60 out of our 70 plus sacks came on 4-man rushes.
Oh no! Like I said, they're beasts.
Kansas City is going to have to force us. Going to have to force us to play that 5-man front. If we can get to him with 4 down linemen, they don't stand a chance.
Well, I mean, of course. But again, but what happens if they get that running game going where they, hey, first down, 5 yards. Second down, you getting 3. Third down, you get first down.
Then come the
and they can keep doing it on a drive.
We have ourselves a ball game.
That's what I'm saying, and that's what I believe Andy Reid's going to have to do, because this dude, I don't know what they're shooting him up with, how they working him out, whatever. He can't afford to be running backwards. He'll be done after the first quarter if they start that up.
Yeah, so Kansas City has to have that running game. But the only way, like I said, if Eagles get their running game going, then I don't see Kansas City getting their running game off.
Well, I seen something in that NFC Championship I ain't never seen. I mean, every running back Philly had in that game was getting off. I mean, this dude, Gainwell, he was breaking big runs. Boston Scott was breaking runs. Of course, Miles Sanders is getting his.
Yeah,
definitely. They had already tied out San Francisco.
But at that point, San Francisco, you know, we ain't get to talk about it.
It was one-dimensional. They was one-dimensional at that point. They couldn't throw the ball. The only thing they could do is run.
Well, not only that, but, Mill, I'm going to be honest with you. The moment my man's arm got messed up,
That's it. This game is over.
Them dudes were so dejected. Then they bring in that horrible backup. Them been on 20 teams. And
the first thing he do is get sacked.
Yeah. And soon
he got knocked out too.
I mean, I blame the 49ers for several things in that. They said Garoppolo could have been activated for that game.
Yeah, he could
have. I'd rather had that dude hobbling than to have that cat in there that they had. And then they bring Purdy back in the game, and all he can do is hand the ball off. Oh, come on, man.
Could he throw more than 5 yards?
Yeah, I mean, they knew they were done. They said, man, just for pride, we got to hang. I mean, they should have activated Garoppolo for that game. As much as people criticize that dude, my opinion has always been the same with him. He wins. This dude, regardless of what you say, when I can get you to the Super Bowl, when I can get you to the NFC Championship twice, however it works, he got to be doing something. And in a game of that magnitude.
Don't be surprised either him or Trey Lance winds up in Houston.
Well, I think Jimmy G's he's not on his way out anyway.
No, he's gone.
Gone. Well, you know what's crazy about it, and people laugh. Unless Aaron Rodgers decides to go that way to Vegas, don't be surprised if he don't end up there.
I don't see Aaron Rodgers in Houston. I don't. I just
no. I'm talking about the Vegas. Don't be surprised.
Aaron Rodgers going to Vegas.
It's either him or Garoppolo. Yeah. One of the two are going.
Well, it would be interesting you said that because if he does go to Vegas, guess who he's got as his sidekick?
Oh, that's why he's going.
There you go. So yes. that'll be fitting right there.
Davante Adams already said that he's willing to go out here and chase after him to get him in Vegas with him.
Yeah, because it looks like Carr is going to the Saints.
Yeah.
So what about real quick before we get back to the Super Bowl talk? I like Carr to the Saints. I was also thinking about this, and I heard this on ESPN earlier this week. Lamar Jackson to the Falcons.
Really?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
What he got in that? What does
what does he have? Who would he throw to?
Kyle Pitts.
And Drake London. And to be honest with you, I kind of like them better than the receiving corps that he had. Mark Andrews was a beast. But I wasn't sold on Baltimore's receivers. The Baltimore receiving game is just,
that's my team. I say this. I like Mark Andrews. I don't think you can compare him and Kyle Pitts. Because Kyle Pitts, I think he missed half of this year. I think he got hurt. I'll give it on the receivers because Drake London has all the potential in the world. Rashard Bateman seems that he can't stay healthy. Duvernay is a nice special teams dude who can get open every now and then. And then it's a roll of the dice. For me personally with Lamar, if Atlanta is going to be his destination, they got a nice running back there. Dude I worked with son, Tyler Algiers. Nice running back. They do have some pieces, but to go to Atlanta,
the Falcons, I'm pulling that trigger.
Well, I would too, but if Baltimore's going to be, that's when I'd have to take a year off.
I don't see him getting his money in Baltimore. I think if he'd have got his money, he'd have got it by now.
Well, you know what?
They gave Roquan all the money that they supposed. They gave
That was
like spitting in Lamar Jackson's face.
Right. Just to be honest, yeah, that's exactly what it was. I would totally agree with that.
Well, if he goes to Atlanta, now you got to look at that and say, okay, they went in the NFC South, so what else we got going? If he stays healthy. I just don't know what they would have to give up. But then Baltimore is cheap, so they probably do it and then end up getting some dude like Mariota and win 8 games.
And Mariota's on his way out. Mariota's gone.
Well, the funny thing is now the NFC South is going to be wide open now.
We don't know what Carolina's going to do yet. We don't know. We don't know what Tampa Bay is going to do yet.
We don't know what any of them is going to do. Honestly, none of them.
Well, you know what? Your boy, he'll get signed by one of them teams down there once. I ain't saying he'll start, but somebody assign him and he'll end up having to be a backup and come in for whoever gets knocked out or whoever sucks.
Well, you're going to go to Carolina and deal with Frank White.
Well, then again, you never know.
He might end up in Jacksonville being a backup to Trevor Lawrence.
Carson Wentz could end up in Atlanta, and Lamar Jackson might go to Tampa Bay.
Them teams are forfeit the game. I mean,
or it could go the other way around.
Buccaneers need a quarterback.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, when you look at Tampa and, you know, they're talking about quarterback, that's where a person like Garoppolo can end up.
Baron Leftwich left Tampa Bay and signed with somebody as their new
with Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Well, he shouldn't have ever gotten fired. I mean, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, you know, save that for another day. But it's amazing how you'll get a dude like Frank Reich get fired and get a job 2 days later. But you'll get a dude like Byron Leftwich, Steve Wilkes, all these brothers out here, these great coordinators, take them 2 months to find a job.
Yeah, Steve Wilkes, he went to San Francisco.
Yeah, he got screwed. Honestly, yeah, Wilkes got screwed out of a head coaching job
Frank Reich, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking the first thought that came to my mind was like, okay, how come Wilkes didn't get the consideration for the Panthers head coaching spot?
Well, they do that all the time, you know, and, you know, congratulations to D'Amico Ryans for getting a job in Houston. But I don't mean to say this to degrade anything he's doing. Don't nobody want that job. I mean, and the thing about it, and I say that because you got to give this dude at least 5 years. You got a nice running back, Damian Pierce. Okay, what else do you have after that? I mean, you have
Brandon Cooks.
He gone. He disgruntled. Remember, he missed half the year of arguing with the team.
They have a lot of draft picks.
And so that's what I'm getting to. You're going to have to give this dude at least 4 years to build this team. Their quarterback, who is Davis Mills or whatever his name.
Yes.
You got to get a guy. Maybe that's where Carson Wentz might end up. I mean, seriously. I mean, they got to come with something different. And
that is a good option though too, because I didn't think about that.
Or they might bring the dude that I feel like he got shafted with the Commanders, but they could end up with a Taylor Heineke. I mean, I think he's a decent quarterback. He got shafted to me. But
I think he's gonna end up still. We gonna find a way to. I'm hoping we can find a way to keep him. I still feel that they blackballed Heineke already with the season being over, and they already saying that Howell's going to be QB1 going.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out who this dude is.
He was a quarterback
from North Carolina.
He could have left last year and could have got drafted high, but he decided to stay. Because he's a good quarterback in the ACC. He had Carolina relevant.
Yeah, but you know what? Heineke to me was decent. He had he had a bad game, but I mean, who don't?
Yeah, but you know, I'd rather we would have got rid of Riverboat Ron and the whole coaching staff of Justin.
Yeah, I didn't like the whole
Scott Turner move.
Like, I did not like the whole offensive defensive coordinator firing movement that happened this season. I think a lot of coaches, including Brandon Staley's dumbass, that should have gotten fired instead of the offensive coordinator.
I'm going to ask you. How
this dude gets away with keeping jobs is unbelievable. I mean, I'm starting to wonder, does he have something on the family? Because this dude should not have a job.
Absolutely. I think I've seen somewhere Cliff Kingsbury might be joining somebody's staff.
Man, I don't even think about his dumb ass either. Hey, before we get out of here, my man just coming to me online. My favorite Cowboy family, he's one of them. CJ Richardson, how you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm late, but I'm always on time.
How you doing, CJ, brother?
Hey, man, I'm good. I'm waiting on Super Bowl Sunday. That's
Super
what I'm
Bowl
doing.
Sunday. You got your popcorn ready, got your Cowboys, I got your AMT in the background.
I got a ready. That's what I got.
You got to. Okay. So he flexing on us right now, fellas.
No, I'm not.
This is a flex that he's doing right now.
The only thing I know about the Super Bowl is both teams can't win. Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm nervous. I'm nervous like a hooker in church. I still say my Eagles gonna win in a blowout. I'm still calling a blowout for my Eagles. But if we lose, man, props to the Chiefs. I'm not gonna be that sore loser that's gonna be crying on the edge of the couch and breaking up my furniture because my team lost.
I am.
I'm not gonna be bitter.
Do not break your TV.
I'm not gonna be bitter. I'm not gonna be sad. So if my Eagles lose, don't call me up and check on me and see how I'm doing.
I gotta check you on that, man. I gotta check you on that. I'm not falling for that pregame pity party. You're not gonna pull that over me.
I'm gonna be happy for Andy Reid.
I don't want to hear if we lose and all that. No, y'all supposed to win. I don't want to hear nothing.
I just said we're going to blow them out.
No, but don't say no if we lose. I don't want to hear that. That's like a little bit of a pity party. Like I said, if we lose. I don't want to hear that. You supposed to say we're
going to blow them out. All I'm saying.
No, I ain't. No, not today. Not today, bro.
All I'm saying, I'm going to be the same guy win or lose. I'm not going to run and hide.
I'm going to be the same guy.
I'm going to be right here.
I can tell you right now, the only thing better then a Cowboy win is an Eagles loss in the Super Bowl. I'm gonna have a party on this month. I'm gonna tell y'all right now, everybody invited. I'm getting tomahawk steaks and everything. The finest champagne, cigars. Y'all come on to my house next week. We gonna party like 1999 around this month. I'm gonna tell you right now.
Yeah,
think Dallas won the Super Bowl if y'all lose? I swear to God.
We ain't losing though. It's just not gonna happen.
If you do, I got a sign for you to hold up on Broad Street.
I don't hold up signs, brother.
Yeah, it said, take me away, Calgon.
The Eagles have flew south for the winter.
For real, y'all supposed to win the game. So no, all jokes aside, looking at your team up and down, y'all been the best. And it hurts me to say this. I'm a Cowboys fan. Y'all been the best team all year, for real, for real. You know, you peaked too early. You went back down, but I've seen it before. You got it together, had a few injuries, you know, but top to bottom, y'all put together a roster that's worthy of winning the world title. That's real football talk right there. Now, here comes the tough part. The game is tomorrow.
Yes.
You still got to play the game.
And yes.
Y'all know, and see, I want to say this, you know, right down the line, I call stuff as I see it. I don't know what the referee has been looking for or going to be looking for tomorrow. I don't know who's going to get the calls because that's going to determine the game. You know what I'm saying? The referees determine 91% of the game.
They've been horrible.
Yeah, they've been horrible.
You know Patrick Mahomes would throw it up on 3rd and 18 just to get the PI. We don't know what they're going to call.
Now, I will say this. I got a bold prediction.
What you got?
This is for this Super Bowl, this is going to be the Super Bowl with the most ineligible receiver downfield calls in NFL history, Super Bowl history. That ineligible receiver downfield call has haunted both the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles all season long.
It does.
I know that's one call that, I mean.
But you know why?
Quarterbacks holding the ball too long.
Well, no, not that. What happens is, people play y'all both similar but different. What happens is they back off and play the coverage hoping that Jalen Hurts can beat them with the run. Right. And then they play the coverage on Mahomes hoping that he can't find the passing lane. And what happens after 3 seconds, you're right. Them big fat linemen say, I got to find me somebody hit.
That's right.
Where did he go?
Hey, bro. Next thing you know, he like 4 or 5 yards down the field. Like, hold up, player.
And then you went, oh, that was a good play. What happened? Lawrence was on the field. Yep. Right. And those were receiver downfield.
You absolutely right.
That's that call. I thoroughly believe the refs gonna be looking for that call on both sides. So it might be a lot of holding. But ineligible receiver downfield, I think it's going to be get called the most. There's going to be some holding because you got to think. Frank Clark on one side, Chris Jones on one side, Hassan Reagan, that pass. Both these teams like to get after the quarterback. Yeah, it's going to be a couple of holes.
Yes.
You got to automatically assume that. And just like you said, pass interference, illegal. I think more illegal contact might get called in, like pass interference.
Well, I think the NFL, they've talked to the refs of how they want this game to go. You know, the obvious going to be called anyway. But right. You can bet your last dollar, it's going to be a ooh-wee moment. I promise you that.
Yeah, right. I hope, and to be honest, I hope for a physical game, but I don't want to see nobody get hurt either.
Oh, no.
Nah. So I hope everybody comes out healthy, you know, and everybody have fun. Everybody have fun. Look, it's 11:03, and we got to get ready to wrap this thing on up, man. Yo, it's been a blast. We kind of freestyled this one today. But next week, we're going to have a fallout for this. We're going to have some more NBA talk.
We're going to have a pity party for you if they don't win.
And we're going to
show going to be called pity party.
Oh.
Do not win.
Let's get it.
I'm going to be the guy that brings a whole bucket of tears for you.
Oh, geez.
My goodness.
Oh, well, since you said that, I don't know what's going to get called, but y'all ain't going to want to see me next week if we win.
I mean,
well, like I said, Mill, I got to see what plan Andy Reid got. Y'all supposed to win this game tomorrow, but you know what? Like I said, Andy Reid come with a different plan. It could be a long day.
Long day.
Yeah, good. All right, so we're gonna I'm going to give everybody, you know, a little last one last, you know, circle around the boy. Tell me how you really feel if we ride on out here. Yo, Mark.
You know, I feel Philly should win this game tomorrow. I mean, you know, my man CJ hit the nail on the head. Y'all peaked early, came back down to earth, picked yourself up a little bit. I still say it rides on what Andy Reid does tomorrow, what his game plan is. But Philly should win this game. I got to still roll with him.
All right. I appreciate that, the boxing guru, Mr. Mark Daniels. Thanks for coming through. CJ, yes, I got no debates. I agree with everything you said. But anything else you want to tell the people? You know, can we get some of that morning inspiration you give us almost every day on Facebook in the morning?
No, we're not gonna get that here when Eagles got to play tomorrow. I'm not gonna get that. You know, I hope everybody has a prosperous day and win. You know, we are in favor. I can tell you that right now. You know, always depend on yourself because you know if ain't nobody else gonna get it done, you can always get it done. You know, keep your head up high, always look up, never look down. If you're giving a handout, remember you could easily be the person with the hand on the other side too. So that's how I look at it. When I give. But right now, I got to give you some inspiration for tomorrow. If you lose, you don't want to see me. You probably going to need to block me because I'm probably going to be right in front of your house with my drum, my guitar, the whole guy, the piano. I'm bringing a truck around now.
Hey, I'll be part of the band with you, CJ.
No, man, look, good luck tomorrow, man, because I'm, to be honest with you, your team is where I want my team to be. Real talk. You know, at 27 years, we ain't got there yet. I'm still rapping. Y'all gonna think the Cowboys playing tomorrow. I'll be up at City's Bar and Grill. That's why I'm hosting the Super Bowl party up there tomorrow. It's gonna be bananas up there tomorrow. But Cowboys from head to toe. You know what I'm saying? You know, I really just enjoy Super Bowl weekend, the festivities, the fanfare, everything about it. I just can't seem to get my team there. You know, that's the only thing missing with me. You know, if Dallas go to Super Bowl ever in my lifetime again. I've lived a good life. I got everything else. I got a family that love me. I got people that love me. I got a piggy bank. You know, I got all the stuff I need. You know, it's just a Cowboy. And won't let me be great.
Yeah, as long as you got that, man, you are very blessed and highly favored. Go ahead.
Y'all already did predictions already?
Oh, yeah, we all did predictions.
Oh, I didn't do mine. Let's see. Real talk, man, God. Woo, 31-27.
We did our prediction on Facebook. I said 46 points, so I said, you know, 40-6.
No.
I'm giving the Kansas City Chiefs 2 field goals.
Out your mind.
I'm going 35-28.
I'm going with the Kansas City. I don't care what the score is.
I heard yeah. that.
Yes. So I look.
Long as the magician bring out the blueberry.
First person I'm looking for at about 9:30 tomorrow night is Mill Brown.
Oh yeah.
I won't be too far. I'll be right here, Jamestown apartment, throwing down. Because we also having a Super Bowl party here. Fly Eagles. Fly. We is in the studio tomorrow. I can't wait. I might be on the ones. I might jump on here a couple of times and just talk a little sugar honey iced tea, because you know we're gonna have the red cups, man, in the building.
If things go the way I see them going, you gonna be going night night at halftime.
Oh. Hey, I need the magician them to pull it out, because I got a terrible bet for somebody that's me and my brother got a bet. He's an Eagles fan.
Uh-oh.
If y'all win, I gotta take 5 shots of Jägermeister.
Uh-oh.
Oh, but if y'all lose, I did him real dirty. He gotta take 5 shots of Bottom Shelf's Barton Gin.
Oh, see, y'all going too far.
My brother, he an Eagle fan, and he gloats too much. He was like,
he belligerent with it.
Oh, what?
Barton's?
He called me and said, I know you're going to the Super Bowl party with me and stuff, but is your team playing tomorrow? Because I've been getting prepared for my team to play all week.
Wow. Ooh.
Yeah. He even brought my other brother a sympathy card for when the 49ers lost to y'all.
Bartons?
Yes. He said Jägermeister, so I said, I gotta play dirty. I'm gonna make you drink some Bartons.
Wow.
What kind of sick, twisted human being are you?
I'm a Washington Commander.
Okay, explains everything.
Oh,
well. That explains everything. That explains everything. Yeah, CJ is here. CJ is in the building.
Oh, man, CJ, my man. I ain't seen him talked to him since last year.
How about them Cowboys? How
about them? You talking about them? We still relevant.
No, you ain't relevant.
You brought it up though. See, this is how I look at things. I ain't say nothing to you today. First of all, you ain't say good morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, CJ. Okay. How about them Cowboys?
That's what I'm talking about. You made it famous again. Let's rock. Man, we got beat up in the second round. San Francisco 49ers. They thought they were doing something. They went on, got their butt beat up too. See, you know, everybody good till you get punched in the face.
Okay? Uh huh. Yeah.
Right? So
I told you.
Somebody getting punched up tomorrow too. So I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm glad you could. I'm glad you're all right, bro. Yeah,
I'm good. I know your 13 teams are still at home too. You had the best chance of going to Super Bowl anybody here. You got 13 teams.
Well, I might have more than that. But the point I'm getting to, one of mine is showing up tomorrow, see?
Which one?
Actually, both of them is.
He like both teams.
My dad don't play for that.
Your daddy already got a trophy.
That way he ain't losing.
I don't lose, bro. He's going to win either way.
Oh, my God.
I like your daddy, man. Your daddy said, I ain't losing.
It ain't going to happen. Not on my watch.
I know that's right. I know that's right.
Oh, woo, man.
That made my morning.
Yeah, I feel like she was on live, man. I said, I got to come in there and say, hey, give my boy a
CJ. You just made my morning, man. That's going to be my phrase of the day on Monday. I will not lose.
At all, by any means, hook.
You
crook,
see
it
how
don't
strong
matter.
He is.
Indeed, boy. Yeah.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
And it's beautiful, man. How you and your son can do a podcast like this, man. You know, and it's just show more minority parents and father son relationships how it's done, man. You know, it's beautiful. You know, I just want to add that part in too, man.
I appreciate it, bro.
That's what's up.
Appreciate it. Yes, thank you, CJ. We love you for that one.
Yeah, man, always love having you on, bro.
Appreciate you.
Always. All right, next week, we're going to have more of this and more NBA drama talking about. Man, I can't wait.
NBA ball
right James Brown.
Hey, CJ, we might have, if they lose, we might have to throw him a karaoke party somewhere.
Oh. I'm down for that.
Hey, exactly. I'm going to bring out all the pity party songs.
Hey, CJ. Russ Pa wrong song, Potter.
Okay. And just to let y'all know, all right, y'all have y'all fun now. That's cool. But y'all do know if we when we win tomorrow, next week.
He gonna have a parade on Broad Street.
Next week, y'all get to meet. Next week, y'all will meet my alter ego.
Uh-oh. There's an alter ego?
Oh, yes, Lord. A couple of them.
Here we go.
His initials are AB.
We done woke up a sleeping giant.
He gonna call the mayor next week and be like, I need from City Hall.
Man, I'm not messing with Stoney.
You're going to try to block off Broad Street so he can have a one-car parade with a Philly fan. Stoney going to mess around
having my guy during Sweet in that guy during Virginia Center there. I'll tell
you. Yeah, I'm throwing a party at Azalea Mall.
You're going to need security.
Hey, man, guys, it's been a blast. We got to get out here. CJ, thank you, my brother. Thank you to the boxer guru, Mr. Mark Daniels, Kevin, Romar. It has been a blast. I can't wait to get with you guys tomorrow. And for my man WB, this is Studio W Sports Page, brought to you by J&J. I will see y'all in church tomorrow. Peace.
And all the Philly states you can dream
about. Every day. All right, y'all, I'm out. Appreciate you.